through the introduction of the euro, the prices for all goods and food will suddenly be raised considerably in all nations of the European Union, by what means the people suddenly won't have enough money for their livelihood, etc. 24. In particular, it will hit those people who have to live on a small pension and who, through the criminal and nationally unauthorized increase in food prices, etc., no longer have a livelihood. 25. But the national leaders and other responsible persons will be blind to this because they won't care about the misery of the poor, and through criminal overpayments, secret profiteering, and through other illicit things and intrigues, they will have brought their own might to dry land, as you once formulated the putting aside of money. Billy, then the coming time will bring a lot of unpleasantness and evil in this regard. But how does it stand with the war crimes and the wars in general in the new millennium? Quetzal, 26. Everything relating to this will take its old course, but especially in the quickly coming time, as well as in the third millennium, America, Israel, Palestine, and Iraq will become a talking point in a sad and degrading way. 27. In particular, the coming powerful figures of America, Israel, Palestine, as well as the dictator of Iraq, Bush, Sharon, Arafat, and Saddam Hussein, will be in the first place, who will bring multiple murders over the people through henchmen and their military, and they will still be praised for this by irresponsible sympathizers from all over the world as well as by the people whom they govern. 28. But we've already talked about this fairly often, so nothing more should have to be said about it, except that everything will degenerate extremely viciously, claim the lives of many people, and bring tremendous suffering over countless people. 29. No one will order a stop to the massacres. On the contrary, many who are just as degenerate and who think criminally like the murderous rulers and their minions will still shout hooray for this, as you tend to say. 30. The world will be full of blood, and to be sure, human blood, which is spilled criminally, heedlessly, irresponsibly, and senselessly by the responsible persons who order all the evil and disaster, all the murders, destruction, tortures, and annihilation. 31. And it should also be considered that the ones implementing these criminal acts are in no way better than the ones who give the orders to do so. 32. And the disaster will still be banded to place, as this will be the case in the GDR within a short time, and also the shameful wall will fall and will be torn down, and then elsewhere, within a short time, a lot of worse, shameful, and inhumane evils of a similar kind will arise. 33. Even the despicable brickwork between East and West Germany will find a continuation through the coming Israeli ruler, Sharon, for in one of his bloody acts of terrorism that will demand innocent human blood, including many women and children who will fall victim to it, he will separate the Israeli territories from the Palestinian areas with a high and long fence. 34. However, the criminal machinations of terror and war won't be limited to Sharon, his military, and his secret service, for also Arafat and his terrorist henchmen will bring a lot of murder, death, and suffering over many innocent women, children, and men, just as the upcoming American President Bush Jr. will also do so with his secret services, military, and special murderous henchmen. 35. But even Saddam Hussein and the coming criminal and world terrorist, Bin Laden, of whom I've already reported to you, will become a talking point in a human-despising manner and bring innumerable deaths over innocent people. 36. But I've already given explanations, made predictions, and cited prophecies about all these things several times. Billy, you speak to me from the heart, my friend. If I had the power to stop everything and to create a better world and to teach the people what is better and love, then I would do this with great joy and fervor. But one insults me only as a spinner, lunatic, charlatan, and as a deceiver, and only very few, really reasonable people listen to my word and to the teaching that I provide. Almost no earth person wants to hear the truth because this is extremely painful and requires a lot of will, understanding, cognition, and energy to follow it. Quetzal, 37. Your words and feelings hit me, and I feel how hard it is working in you. 38. Your words are good and right, but it will still take many centuries before the people of the earth find their way to the real truth and to the true life in love, knowledge, and wisdom. 39. You are doing the hardest and the first work for this, as well as all those people who gather around you. 40. But overall, you will have a very difficult position because the real truth doesn't want to be heard. Billy, to further address what you said just now, on the earth, rulers, politicians, and other powerful figures, psychopaths, and paranoiacs, as well as their henchmen, may commit or order murders without hesitation and unhindered, carry out acts of terrorism, and cause wars in the name of justice, internal and external security, alleged peacekeeping or peacemaking, as well as alleged freedom and love. Here, it asks itself, how immoral and degenerate in general such creatures must actually be, who order, carry out, or even just support such. It doesn't matter whether it's about torture, the death penalty or its enforcement, or about open-ended wars or murderous acts of secret services, sectarians, religious extremists, fundamentalists, or terrorists. Everything is reprehensible which amounts to quarrel, war, murder and mayhem, slavery, bondage, discord, unkindness, hatred, revenge and retaliation, as well as sectarianism, terrorism, and destruction and everything that brings harm to human beings, life, and evolution. Quetzal, 41. Unfortunately, there are no limits to the immorality and depravity of all those in the world who can exercise power in any way. 42. This boundlessness is also true with respect to the greed for money, wealth, resources, lands, countries, luxury, lust for power, revenge, retribution, self-perpetuation, pleasure, addiction and vice, as well as all imaginable material worthlessness, etc. Billy, unfortunately, that is actually so. There, you are right. May I address you once again on what you already told me a long time ago but which wasn't written down as a contact conversation? With this, I refer to that which was perpetrated by the Japanese in China, during the occupation period of the Chinese people, in connection with bioweapon tests. As you mentioned, this fact is silenced, and consequently, very few of the Japanese people are aware of it, as this was also the case with the same or similar crimes under the Nazis, the Swedes, the French, and the Americans, as well as in various other nations in a military or private and scientific form and is also kept secret up to this day and denied, which, unfortunately, can only be proven in most cases with extreme difficulty. Quetzal, 43. Yes, we've talked about that. 44. Of course, I can speak of it again. Billy, then the whole thing isn't confidential. Quetzal, 45. That is correct. 46. Everything happened during the Japanese occupation in China. 47. In 1942, through the high leaders of the Japanese, and indeed, without the Japanese population being informed about it, southern China became contaminated with cholera, plague, and with other diseases during a long-term and large-scale secret action. 48. Moreover, it concerned a large-scale and long-term series of tests involving bioweapons. 49. In this consequence, plague-infected fleas were dropped from Japanese airplanes on various areas of southern China in large quantities, which were then mainly spread across the country by rats. 50. Many people, and also other animals besides rats, were directly affected by it, by what means the plague could spread rapidly, and eventually, hundreds of thousands became sick and very many died. 51. The people of the then affected areas still suffer from this war crime today, which also won't change in the coming decades because the plague can't be fought easily and, therefore, can't be eradicated quickly, which is why in southern China, cases of plague appear over and over again, and this will also be the case in the future. 52. At the same time, one should consider the immeasurable quantities of rats, over which China doesn't become master and which are still today the carriers of the plague-infected fleas, which are transferred by these rodents to domestic animals and human beings and which allow illnesses to break out again and again, even if only sporadically. 53. A fact that, since the end of World War II, has also been concealed by the Chinese government from the general public of China and from the whole world, and which will also continue to remain in such a way for some time into the future. 54. The authorship of the incredible war crime traces back to a renowned Japanese army doctor named Shiro Ishii, who, in 1940, with the consent of the Japanese heavenly Shoteno, Hirohito, Emperor of Japan, brought into being the so-called Unit 731 inches and also led the murderous command in this. 55. Through this unit, also tens of thousands of prisoners of war, Chinese, Koreans, and Russians, who were designated as blocks of wood, were used as experimental subjects by the researchers who bred and produced terrible strains of pathogens. 56. The entire laboratory and research facility was officially and deceitfully handled as a wood processing plant, so that the terrible secret, which was really hidden behind it, wouldn't become known among the population. 57. This happened in a laboratory in the northern part of China, in Manchuria, in a place with the name of Pingfang. 58. However, not only were the plague pathogens investigated, bred, and produced in immense masses, but also very dangerous pathogens of other diseases and epidemics, such as anthracis, a pathogen by which anthrax was released. 59. Moreover, pathogens of typhoid fever and cholera were also produced and so on. 60. Then, the prisoners of war were infected with all kinds of bred pathogens, and once they became sick, living organ samples were cut out of their bodies, without anesthesia, in order to examine and investigate the effects of the inoculated disease strains in them, as well as to make further tests and to pursue researches. 61. Of course, all victims didn't survive these tortures. Rather, they died in such pain that one can say that they didn't just painfully die, but rather miserably and agonizingly perished. 62. Furthermore, it is still to be explained that a Japanese army special unit in Pingfang bred and produced deadly pathogens of diseases and epidemics and spread these all over the areas of southern China by airplanes as well as by railway and by all sorts of motorized road vehicles, causing hundreds of thousands of people to be inflicted by the diseases and epidemics, and very many died from it. 63. Then, in Tokyo, at the end of World War II, when the war crimes trials took place, none of the Japanese researchers were called to account, through whose crimes 743,018 people were murdered. 64. A number that was criminally reduced in a truth-veiling manner by the responsible persons of the court to just around 250,000, in order to make everything seem somehow milder than it actually was. 65. In fact, only several generals were indicted. 66. For the researchers themselves, it was negotiated that they would remain unpunished if they handed over the research results and all formulas, etc. to the Americans, which then actually happened, of course, and with which the American researchers and scientists pursued researches in the following years and decades and up to now, and they will pursue and continue to pursue these in the coming time. 67. From this, from the acquired results, vicious and deadly weapons usable for biological warfare naturally developed over time, which America also abundantly produced in large masses and has in stock. 68. But it is specifically to be said to everything again that the whole thing isn't at the expense of the Japanese people, for this people had no idea of all the terrible evil that the researchers and the army special unit brought upon hundreds of thousands of human beings of the Chinese people. 69. Thus, the Japanese people can never be held responsible for such monstrous crimes against humanity and war crimes. 70. The real culprits were the researchers and the army doctor, Shiro Ishii, and primarily the Shoteno, Hirohito, the Emperor of Japan, who approved everything, And, of course, also all those who supported the criminal matter and all those who spread the deadly pathogens over the country. 71. And finally, it must still be said that at the end of the war, there were still more than 600 survivors of the prisoners of war, but they were cruelly murdered, so that they couldn't make any statements about the bestial, murderous, and deadly attempts of the butchers against the prisoners of war and against the people concerned in southern China. Billy, that is what I wanted to hear again, so that I can write it down and present it to the public. The people of the earth should know, by what bestial creatures their world is inhabited. This, however, not only refers to this story with Japan but also to America, Israel, Palestine, and Iraq, and otherwise to all nations whose criminal elements act in the way you mentioned or in a similar manner and bring death, suffering, murder, destruction, and annihilation over the people and entire nations and can still be praised high into the sky for it and think that they are magnificent, humane, just, and infallible. These creatures must be denounced because of their criminal thoughts and actions, so that the people can finally learn the truth and don't continue to shout hooray for these thugs and murderers. Quetzal, 72. You will keep your word, because I know how serious this is to you. Billy, you're right about that. But now, again something else. In the old history of Enoch and the travelers from afar from the depths of space and, with these, the refugees of Enoch's line from the Sirius region, there is talk of the fact that these chose a system with an already dying sun, in order to escape from the captors. This was so because the pursuers didn't expect it and, even today, don't expect that the refugees chose for themselves a dying or passing sun, which will only exist for a few billion years and which only had three habitable planets in its system, one of which could only be transitionally inhabited for a short time, namely Mars, while another, even Melona or Phaeton, was destroyed by its inhabitants, which resulted in the asteroid belt. Moreover, there was still the fact that the Sirius regions, from where the refugees broke out, were in a different space-time configuration, and the refugees settled in another space-time plane, even in our space and our time, which was a foreign area to the Syrians and which couldn't be found by them up to this day, for on the one hand, there are simply too many of the most diverse space-time configurations in the entire universe, and on the other hand, the Syrians didn't have the Enoch technology of the space-time exchange. But now, two specific questions about this. First of all, do the distant descendants of the Syrians from their other space-time configuration, or from their other space-time plane, still presently search for the refugees of Enoch's line, whose most distant descendants are some of today's Earth people? And secondly, are the distant descendants of these Syrians in a position today to penetrate into other space-time configurations? And actually, this still gives rise to a third question that is related to this. Why, actually, was a solar system searched for, which only had a few inhabitable planets? Quetzal, 73. The danger of the pursuit of the refugees, or rather their distant descendants, by the distant descendants of the former inhabitants of Sirius is no longer existent because over many thousands of years, the disposition of the Syrians has changed for the better, and so now, they live in peace and without ambitions for power. 74. Today, their aspirations are more focused on consciousness-related and spiritual progress than just on power, revenge, and retaliation, in consequence of which also everything that had happened at the earliest times with the genetically manipulated ones and their work and escape was ordered into oblivion by a council's decision. 75. But still, they also developed their technology further in every form, consequently, they also became capable of changing from their space-time plane into another. 76. But unfortunately, this was to the advantage of a small group of diehards who had taken over the old hatred and thoughts of revenge as well as the retaliatory desires of the old Syrians from generation to generation and also further maintained them. 77. But today, These are now just 63 of their human beings who continue in the traditional hatred and try to cause harm to the most distant descendant of the Sirius refugees, even in the way that they try to transport you from life and thereby make your mission and the teaching of the spirit impossible. 78. Unfortunately, they also arrived into the possession of the technology that enables them to change into the most diverse space-time planes, so even into this one, in which the Sol system exists, which they have, indeed, found after centuries of searching. 79. They try to cause harm to you as well as to all those around you and to the teaching and the mission and elsewhere, namely by intimidating and threatening the Earth people who have observed our beamed ships or the ones of other extraterrestrial visitors to Earth or who have found any proofs of their existence. 80. Through these hateful elements that cooperated with the Jaizu intelligences, human beings of the Earth were also injured or kidnapped, etc. But this only occurred rarely. 81. Moreover, these renegades and men in black, as we also call them, and these have nothing to do with the so-called men in black who are of earthly origin and, thus, who are secret service-driven Earth people, strive to induce real visions and hallucinations through apparatus-driven, suggestive impulses in Earth people who are susceptible to these. 82. Their repertoire ranges from fake sightings and observations as well as alleged abductions up to simulated contacts and sexual intercourse with extraterrestrials, from which alleged pregnancies occur that, if they already appear, are caused quite normally with an earthly partner or by artificial manipulation of a medical nature or one's own nature. 83. Also through these extraterrestrial men in black, the illusion is produced in susceptible Earth people that somehow, through carelessness, etc., things penetrated into their body unnoticed, such as the incidence of metal fragments or small projectiles, etc., implants of extraterrestrial forces and beings, which is absurd, of course. 84. Since these Sirius renegades are too small in their numbers to inflict really major damage on Earth and its inhabitants, they have invested in their hatred, in order to create confusion in manifold forms all over the Earth among the people. 85. Moreover, as I already said, they tried to destroy the teaching of the Spirit and your mission, and indeed, even by instigating unstable Earth people to kill you or to make it impossible for you through lies, deceit, and slander and to represent you as a liar, swindler, forger, and fraud, which you will still experience, unfortunately, even in your own family, as I have seen through a look into the future. 86. Unfortunately, we aren't able to catch these extraterrestrial men in black elements because they always vanish into a space-time plane whose coordinates we can't detect and can't register, for quite obviously, these Sirius renegades have a coordinate distorter or otherwise have a way to distort the coordinate data, whereby we can't capture them and can't get a hold of the culprit. 87. In addition, the elements are extremely vigilant and clever, so it could take years or decades before we get them on track and dissuade them from their actions. 88. We have to wait until they make a mistake or until our scientists find a way to decipher their coordinates upon the disappearance of the renegades into another space-timed plane. Billy, then we can still exercise some patience. Let's talk about something else. Although we've already talked about this several times, I would like a specific answer from you. As Tua said and showed to me, there is a lot of water on and also under the surface Mars in the form of ice, mostly very close to the surface of Mars, whereby the South Pole is of special importance in this regard. As Tua explained, however, not all ice consists of water but also of other materials. Now, the question about this is whether you have foresight as to whether this water can one day be used by the Earth people, once they eventually colonize Mars and can, so to speak, bring it back to life. And in the coming time, will the fact of the presence of the enormous canyons and black sand dunes and water on Mars be discovered by probes, if such should be sent to the Red Planet and reach this at all? Quetzal, 89. That will be the case several times in the coming time in reference to the water, namely that large occurrences of water in the form of ice and snow can be proven by probes on Mars. 90. But the final certainty will first be attained at the beginning of the third millennium, and to be sure, by a Mars probe that will be called 2001 Mars Odyssey, as our look into the future has revealed. Billy, and, will it also become clear through this then that Mars once supported life and that, in fact, exotic life exists on the planet? I mean microbes and the like. Quetzal, 91. No, that will not yet be the case at that time. 92. The time for that won't be until much later. Billy, and how does it stand with the storms on Mars? Will these also be investigated then, and will it also be discovered that there are something like flashes of lightning up there? And since we're already at it, through the powerful flashes of lightning on the good old Earth, which shoot vertically into the air at around 100 kilometers per second, radio waves arise with such high frequencies that through these, the very sparsely settled air molecules are brought to radiating illumination. Is this a specific feature that only appears on Earth, or does this phenomenon also occur on other planets? Quetzal, 93. This likewise applies to other worlds, both those that are of the same nature as the Earth and those that are of a different nature. Billy, you mean in terms of the various planetary spheres, if I understand you correctly? By that, I mean the atmosphere or troposphere, stratosphere, stratopause, mesosphere, mesopause, thermosphere, exosphere, dissipation sphere, the neutrosphere, homosphere, heterosphere, and ionosphere, as well as the geosphere and biosphere, the lithosphere, respectively the Earth's mantle layer and the Earth's crust, and the inner asthenosphere, etc. Quetzal, 94. You astonish me. Billy, it's only half as bad. It's all just school knowledge and book knowledge. But tell me, you recently said that around the turn of the millennium, a new space station would be built, which should orbit the Earth at a high altitude. ISS or International Space Station, you have called it. How high should this float above the Earth or all around the Earth? And how high and low will the temperature be up there? Quetzal, 95. The very large station will orbit the Earth at about 400 kilometers of altitude, and at this altitude, there prevails a positive temperature of about 120 degrees and a negative temperature of about 150 degrees, if I'm not mistaken. Billy, aha, so there can also be mistakes with you. But tell me, when I took the deep sea tour with you, there I saw life forms in the deepest depths, which will certainly still remain invisible and unexplainable to our deep sea researchers and scientists for a long time, as this will also be the case for many of the giant animals that live in higher and middle sea depths, as for example the giant snakefish which look like giant eels, which are up to 15 meters long, as you said, then likewise the giant sharks that are up to 14 meters long and which have such large mouths that one might think that a third of the fish come from these. But then, there were still the giant beasts, which you called deep sea eels and which had a kind of tentacle mane and which, once they are fully grown and as you also explained, can be up to 18 to 22 meters long. I was also impressed by the giant jellyfish, whose catching arms or tentacles were about 45 meters long, according to your explanation. Also those monstrous predatory sharks were to be regarded as enormous, which you described as rapacious and predatory creatures. And when I think that these fish, according to your data, were 10, 12, and 14 meters long, then one could learn fear if one would face these beasts under other and unprotected circumstances than just in such a way as we were protected in your ship. But that there are deep sea squid, which have long, delicate, and fine tentacles, several of which you also let me see and observe, of this I also knew nothing, as well as not of the existence of all the other deep sea creatures or deep sea life forms. And here, I wrote down the name that you told me in reference to that beast that made a strange impression on me and concerning which you explained that it concerns a distant descendant form of the Carcharodon megalodon, as you dictated its name to me. Even more could be said of what was experienced and seen, But I want to concern you with a question, namely how many deep sea creatures of every kind and size can one still reckon, which have remained undiscovered up to now, if one can attach a number to this at all? Quetzal, 96.